So tonight we're reading from Luke chapter 8. You should find that on page 1037 in the Church Bible. We'll read from the beginning of the chapter down to verse 15. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Amen.
Luke's Gospel and chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now read again there verse 15. The parable of the sower, possibly the best known of the parables, or one of them anyway. And there are 4 different kinds of soil upon which the seed, which is the word of God, is symbolized, falls. And some of it, verse 15, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now, what my approach this evening is going to be quite different to this morning. And I want you to have your Bibles, if you can, open, or your text on your phone, or whatever you've got it. But just want you to be looking at this passage. And I want us to think about how to read the Bible. What I'm going to do this evening is going to be really simple, and I hope it's helpful and encouraging. I expect that most of you read the Bible at some point in the week, certainly on Sunday, all of you, maybe at other times. Obviously, I would encourage you to be reading it very regularly, perhaps every day at some point in the day. And we're going to think about just how you can revitalize your Bible reading. I know that if you're reading the Bible regularly, it can move from being a joy to being a chore, just gradually, day by day, so that you don't notice that you've lost the freshness and the eagerness. If I go back to the first Bible I had as a new Christian, and I had one of these yellow highlighting pens, the New Testament certainly ended up with almost the whole New Testament highlighted with yellow pen. Everywhere I turned, it was just speaking. It was fresh. It was alive. I don't use highlighter pens these days, but I do now find I have to fight for a fresh Bible reading experience every day. I became a Christian when I was 18. I was studying at Glasgow University at the time. I was just going back to my third year when I became a Christian. And I became a member of a large city centre congregation in Glasgow, St. George's Tron. There were about 600 people worshipping there Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And I found that it was quite possible in that huge congregation, and it may well be something like that here in Smithton, to be anonymous and to backslide without anyone noticing. And actually, were it not for the group of Christians that I was in halls of residence with, in Dalrymple Hall as it was then, in that halls of residence, who kind of kept one another spiritually challenged and alive, were it not for that group, I could easily have gone along to church on Sunday to the Tron and been cold and dead spiritually, and no one would really have noticed that that was happening. Or I might have been struggling, I might have been trying to do better as a Christian, but I might have been being tripped up by my own weaknesses, temptations, busyness or whatever. And there might not have been anyone there to get alongside me and say, "Roddy, here's how to move forward from this situation." So I'm thinking tonight about you as a larger congregation. I'm thinking about how it's possible for you to hide in a larger congregation and to lose your spiritual edge. And I'm thinking about how you might try and revitalize that. And there are many things I could talk about. This particular message comes out of a series I did in Kyle recently entitled Grow. And you could go and look on the Plockton and Kyle Free Church website if you want to see other things that we could look at tonight to revitalize Christians who are losing their spiritual edge. But what I'm focusing on tonight is the reading of the Bible. And I'm going to simply give you an example of how to read the Bible, and it's only one of many possible examples of how to read the Bible in such a way that hopefully, following this, you would yourself at least have a fresh experience and hopefully meet with God himself through reading. So let's start on a Monday morning. It's Monday morning. You were in church on Sunday, but now it's Monday morning. But there's something niggling you, because it just so happened that in church on Sunday, the preacher was speaking about spiritual keenness, about being a Christian who's enthusiastic about being a Christian. And it happens that you are feeling that you have lost something. You're not as keen. You're not as enthusiastic as you once were. So you are going to ask God what's gone wrong. That's the point of coming to church in terms of the sermon part of church, certainly. It's so that you can hear things from God's word that will challenge you. And you won't just sort of shake hands with the preacher and say, "Thanks, Rev, that was spot on," and then forget it. But you will actually take it with you and hopefully do something about it if God has challenged you during the week. So on Monday morning, you're thinking, "I got challenged last night," or "I got challenged yesterday morning, and I'm losing my edge as a Christian. Why, Lord?" You're asking this question, why? Now, it's very important, I think, for people to ask God questions. I think often we come to Bible reading with a sort of sense of habit, and we just say, "Well, what's my reading today? Oh, it's Isaiah chapter 55, which we just sang a minute ago." And you just read it, and you say, "Right, that's done. Tick that off, and then maybe pray a bit, and off you go." And you're not actually getting anything out of it, because for a start, you're not looking to get anything. And the way that you can ensure you're going to get something out of reading the Bible is by asking questions. Like, don't just read the Bible, but come and say, "Well, I want to know why this is. I want to know this about my life. I want to know this about God. Come with your questions. We've all got questions. Life is posing questions of us all the time, posing questions to us all the time. The whole of existence is a big question. The very fact we even exist, that's the biggest question mark of all. So we should be coming to ask questions off the Bible. Read asking questions, and it'll hold your attention, and it will make you search for answers. So even that very simple point at the beginning is, come to the Bible with questions. Now, it's Monday morning. Monday morning may not be, I'm rubbish in the mornings. You might be like that. Monday morning especially. I'll be tomorrow morning on Monday until I get exercise, until I get out on my mountain bike and do some serious exercise. I'll be just like a half-shut knife. Morning's not necessarily the best time for me. It might be the best time for you though, but find the time of the day to read the Bible at which you are at your best. For me, that'll probably be about midnight. For you, it might be just after lunch, might be late morning, it might be 6 o'clock in the morning. But there's, if it happens that your biological clock says that's your best time, then do the thing that requires your best attention at that time. That's the Word of God. No one says it has to be at any particular time of the day. Focus on it when you're at your best, when you're at your freshest. But other things are important. You don't want to be disturbed. So try and find a time when you can do it when you're not going to be disturbed. Find a nice, comfortable place, a nice, quiet place. Not too comfortable. If you're like me, you'll fall asleep. But just find a place. Make yourself a cup of tea. We believe in caffeine. We believe in a bit of stimulation to keep us awake. Get a notepad. Strongly recommend this. Get a notepad and a pen. And your devices, switch them off. Switch them off. Can you imagine switching off your phone, your iPad, whatever else you've got kicking around? Switch them off. Okay? I say that because we are constantly experiencing daylight robbery in our lives. And daylight robbery comes in many forms. One of the forms is our devices are stealing our time unnecessarily. I remember a time before phones. Not before, I'm not born before Alexander Graham Bell, you know, we understand that, but when I wanted to phone, I needed to go out of my house and walk up to the end of the housing scheme in Alness and go into the red phone box. So there was none of that sort of disturbance. Today, your time, your emotional energy is being robbed unnecessarily all the time. And if you want to listen to God, you've got to give him undisturbed, undivided attention. I strongly recommend that, even if you're going to start shaking with withdrawal symptoms. You've got to do this. Right, so your Bible's open. Your notepad's ready. You've got a question. Why am I losing my edge? Now pray. Thank God. Thank God for things. Thank him for your relationship with him. Thank him for his word. Because you're wanting to ask him about your lack of zeal, tell him about your lack of zeal. Ask his forgiveness for your lack of zeal and ask him to help you to show, to see the way where you can get your zeal and enthusiasm back. Then open your Bible. Now let's have a good modern translation, something that you enjoy reading. I happen to be a great fan of this church's pulpit Bible, the 1984 NIV, the 2011 NIV. I think they're fantastic Bibles for reading. They read really well. If you prefer a more sort of study-orientated Bible, the ESV is probably that. Maybe it doesn't read so well, but get a good modern translation that you can really stick with for a long time. There are passages, long passages in the NIV that I know off by heart just because I've read them so many times. I used to listen to them on cassette tapes back in the day, and I know them. Get a translation you can really get into. Anyway, you may be that someone is using Bible reading notes, and this particular day, because you've got a question, you think, right, I'm going to use these notes. You open your notes and you say, oh, the subject today is honesty at work. It's not really what I want to hear about, what I need to hear about today. Don't be a slave to the notes. Put them away. It may be that before you were reading the notes, you were reading from the book of Jeremiah, for example. And you were towards the end of Jeremiah, all these judgments in Babylon, and you say, no, that's really not what I need to be hearing about today. There's a time for hearing about judgments in Babylon. But today, I want to know why I'm losing my edge. Okay? So this is wanting the Bible to be relevant to the questions you've got. So we're trying to make it as relevant as we can. We're trying to get to the place where we're looking at a passage that's going to address your questions. And your question today is, Lord, why is my heart cold? How are you going to find the passage that's going to help you? Well, I know when I was a very young Christian, sometimes I would just open the Bible. And sometimes, remarkably, the passage would be, wow, that is so powerfully relevant. God was very patient and gracious with me. I think nowadays he wants me to kind of think about things a bit more before I open the Bible, usually anyway. So think about your question. What do you know about the Bible? What do you know about passages that would deal with things like zeal? And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that at this point you think, well, you remember the 100 times of the parable of the sower. Some people bore fruit 100 times. There it is in verse 8. 100 times what was sown. And you think, that was very zealous. They really, really progressed. I'd like to be like that. Let's just say that's what comes into mind. And after a wee bit of flicking about, you find the parable of sower, you find yourself in Luke chapter 8, and you think, well, maybe this is going to help me here to think about zeal. And then you read it. Let's say you read verses 1 to 15 with the parable of the sower and the interpretation of the parable. How do you read the Bible, by the way? Do you just sort of skip through it? No, you want to read it like you were tasting a fine wine. You want to savor it. You want to do it slowly and carefully. And you want to maybe read it through more than once. You've got a notebook. Maybe at some point something speaks to you. Write it down in the notebook. If something sticks out, maybe you're struggling with, maybe there's a detail you don't understand, write it down. Maybe you'll ask someone about it later, okay? But read it carefully. So as you read, you're drawn perhaps to Jesus' explanation of the parable in verses 11 to 15, let's say. And again, you're saying, why am I losing my spiritual enthusiasm? Now, your job as a Christian is not just to understand the Bible. Your job as a Christian is to hear what God is saying to you so you can do something about it. So your job's not done if you just understand it. You should be able to understand the parable of the sower quite simply, Jesus says, because he reckons it's about the simplest of the parables. He tells us that. So it may not be too difficult to understand the parable, but that's not your job. You're wanting an answer to your question. So you're focusing on verses 12 to 15. Maybe you read it through again. Now notice this is taking a bit of time. 15 minutes perhaps already, 10, 15 minutes. You do have to give time to God. He says, be still and know that I am God. You know, God does not say to us, be on the hoof and, kind of live by the seat of your pants and I'll speak to you. No, God says, be still. God wants us to give him time. You and I know that if we give someone time, they feel the value of the relationship we have with them. They know that we matter, or they matter to us. But on the other hand, if you see someone and just sort of, hi, and off you go, there's no depth in that. There's no communication, hardly. God wants you and me to be still, to give him time. Now you get to verse 15 and you're reading and you think, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And you sort of click that crop is kind of like zeal. Like the more of a crop that you produce, it's like the more fruitful you are as a Christian, the better you're doing really as a Christian. And you think, well, I haven't been producing much crop recently. That's what God's been saying to you. That's what he'd said through the sermon the previous day. So you're saying to God, how can I produce more crop? And you ask that question in verse 15 and it tells you. It says, those who produce a crop hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So you take your notepad up and you write the date and you write Luke chapter 15. Maybe you actually write the verse out. Write the verse out carefully. That compels you to slow down and listen to what it's saying. Write your question. Why do I have so little zeal? And the answer is, I need to hear, I need to retain, I need to persevere. Maybe just write that down. It's not difficult. I've not said anything that's difficult for us at this point. And you think to yourself, you know, if I can hear and retain and persevere, I'll have produced a good crop. I'll be a zealous Christian. I'll have my enthusiasm back. And you think to yourself, well, of course, I don't do much of that these days. I don't hear from God much. I'm not really listening very well to him. And I don't retain much of what I get because I'm off to something else and I'm thinking about other things. And I certainly don't therefore persevere. I don't even get to persevering. So you've got this kind of basic, simple picture from this verse. Just as you think about it, and you sit back and you're just meditating over that, take a sip of your cup of tea, and you realize God's spoken already to you. You think, this is God saying to me, I'm going to have to hear better and retain what I hear and persevere. And God's spoken. Now, you know, I hope, what an exciting thing that is. When you're still, when you're quiet, when you're open, when you're listening, when God speaks, you feel a sort of frisson of excitement. You feel a little thrill because it's relational. It's a way of him speaking his love and his truth to your life. God has spoken. And you say, well, that doesn't usually happen. It's not been happening recently. Of course, this is what you're asking about. Why? Why doesn't it happen? And then you think, well, actually, the reason it doesn't happen is because I'm usually in a hurry. And today, I've taken a different approach. And this is what I'm encouraging you to do about your Bible reading. Take a different approach. Today, I've slowed down and I've really sought to answer a question. And I've given time, God, to give me the answer. And I'm expecting him to answer. So it's quite exciting. You are, verse 15, you're hearing. You've taken the first step along the road to producing a crop. You realize suddenly, do you know, I'm actually doing what God's telling me to do here. And you think to yourself, yeah, I need to do this. I need to do this every day. I need to do this more often. I need to do more of it. And retaining and persevering. So at this point, maybe again you pray, maybe just a simple prayer, Lord, thank you so much just for showing me that I need to hear from you. And thank you, I have heard that from you. And thank you that you're encouraging me to really listen and to keep hold of, to retain what you're saying and to persevere in it. Just a simple prayer. Help me to do this, Lord. Now we're talking about 20 minutes into your time. Is your job done? Can you get on with your day now? Well, you've hardly really begun. You must start to ask yourself, well, what practical steps am I going to take to hear and retain and persevere in God's word? Tomorrow's Tuesday, what am I going to do? You say to yourself on Monday, what am I going to do to really put into action what God's saying to me here? See, you've got to think about the practicalities of it, because you're hearing God speaking an answer to your question. Now you've got to think about what you've got to do with the answer. So you're thinking about this verse and you're realizing, you know, there's a lot in this verse. Might be a simple little verse, verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, but there's a lot in it. And you're beginning to see new possibilities opening up because of your focus on this verse and because God is speaking. You're getting a little bit of the Holy Spirit coming with God's word here. He's coming, he's making his influence felt at this point, and you're getting a bit of revelation from God, some light is shining in your life. And then, do you know what happens? The phone rings. I forgot to switch the phone off, didn't I? The phone rings. What do you do when the phone rings? Are you one of these people who jumps every time? Every time. The devil says, I know how to make them jump. I'll make the phone ring. Are you one of these people? The phone rings. And you're just about to jump up like you always do to answer the phone when you think, wait a minute. At this moment, I'm on a call already. I'm on a call with God. And that has got to be more important than whoever's at the end of the phone at this moment. I like being on a call with God. And you ease back into your chair and you say to yourself, well, the answer machine will get it and I can phone them back later if I need to. You're honoring God at this point. And sure enough, after a few rings, the answer machine kicks in. The sky does not fall because you didn't answer the phone. And you're able to continue with your study. But of course, you're still a bit distracted. See the danger of distraction. And you're going to have to need to refocus. Think how much more you'd have been distracted if you'd gone and answered the phone, had a conversation, and then come back. So you have to retrace your steps a little. And that's where the notepad's very useful. You get your notepad out and you read something along the lines of what you've written. Jesus said, I will have more zeal if I hear and retain and persevere. And so you're beginning to get back into thinking about what God was saying to you. And you think to yourself, well, that was meant from God for me. I've got to hear. And then you think, well, you know, I nearly didn't hear there because the phone rang. Even something as simple as that can stop me from hearing God's voice, from hearing God's word. And you read verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And it strikes you very forcibly that it may well have been, while it might have been your Auntie Ethel on the phone, it might have been the devil as well. It's using that or trying to use that to take the word, as verse 12 says, from your heart. We're in a spiritual battle. Our struggle to be zealous Christians is not a struggle against physical forces coming against us. It's a struggle against spiritual forces coming against us. It's a struggle against the devil. The devil, Jesus mentions there in verse 12, will try and find ways to distract us from God's word. And so you write out verse 12 into your notepad as well, and again you pray. You say, Lord, please help me not to fall for the ways that the devil would try and distract me from hearing your word. And you think, well, what sort of things do distract me from hearing? And that's a very fruitful line of thought, because there's lots of things that will distract you from hearing God's word. And it may be the phone. It may be pain. It may be worry. It may be all the multitude of screens that there are in your house that are calling for your attention. And maybe as you think about that, some thoughts occur and you write them down in your notepad. Something like this, maybe. You might write something like it puts a whole different slant on things when you realize that the devil may be trying to use just the innocent distractions of life to take me away from God's word. In fact, he'd like to do that endlessly until you reach the end of life and find he's distracted you your whole life so that you haven't got to know Jesus. So you write stuff like that down in your notepad. God's speaking again. He's speaking to you about distraction, the power of distraction, how the devil would use it in verse 12 to steal the word away from your heart so you may not believe and be saved. These are the stakes when it comes to hearing God's word, when it comes to studying the Bible. These are the stakes. If you don't hear from God, you may not be saved, says Jesus here. That's how great the issues are. Now, you could put many more things on that list of distractions, but, you know, we're getting up 25, 30 minutes now in your study, and you're beginning to feel your concentration waver a wee bit. So, time just to go over what you've written, and you've written a few things in your notepad, and it's very useful, because now it's there so that you can refer back to it. You've written a couple of verses, verse 15 and verse 12. You've written your question about how to become more zealous as a Christian. You've written some thoughts about hearing from God, about what distracts you, and about how the devil would use things to distract you. And you realize, you know, it's just one verse, but there's stacks more in this passage that you can get back to on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And you're quite excited about this. No, God is speaking. You are hearing, as verse 15 says, you are hearing. And you're going to retain a bit more because you've made an effort. You've written stuff down. You've got something to take with you. For example, you know you've got a Christian friend coming around for coffee at lunchtime, and you're going to have something to talk with them about what God said to you that morning or whatever time of day it was. What God said to you, you can share with someone else and encourage them as well. And you know, therefore, that There's going to be a lot more of exciting discovery, even in the parable of the sower, maybe in verses 13 and 14, as well as what you've already found in verses 12 and 15. Jesus has spoken to you. It's been a half an hour very well spent. You've heard from God. You've met with God. It's been simple, but it's been profound. It's been amazing. And you feel a different person. Something has changed in your life because of that simple encounter with Jesus. Remember, Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, Father, set them apart through your word. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You know, use your word, Father, to work within them. And that's what happens when you give God time in reading his word. And just because you took some practical steps and gave God time, your Bible reading has been rejuvenated, it's been refreshed, it's been replenished, and you've met with God and you've managed to hear from God. You've heard a little of the beat of his heart. And it's going to be a good thing for you for the rest of your days. If you can keep that kind of freshness up, you will indeed, as a Christian, grow into a rich and deep relationship with God, in which God is constantly dealing with your questions as you come with them to him, and in which God is constantly changing your life. So what I've done tonight, it's quite different to the way we approach things this morning, but I hope it just challenges you. Because sometimes I worry as a preacher that what I'm doing is something like what I had to do 15, 20 years ago when my children were very young. That was open a little tin of stuff, get a little plastic spoon, dip the plastic spoon into the tin, pop it into the little starling-like open mouth, try not to spill too much, repeat until the tin was empty. While at that point, my little son or daughter may have benefited, there was a time very early in their life when they had to learn to take the little plastic spoon themselves. Well, first of all, they just used their fingers, I suppose, but they had to learn to get the stuff out of the jar for themselves. I don't have to feed my 21-year-old son anymore. He does it for himself, handsomely. In fact, these days, he's great in the kitchen. He feeds me. not with a plastic spoon, you understand. But this is what preachers want their congregations to do. They want their congregations to take the plastic spoon out of the preacher's hand, because the preacher's not just wanting to dish it out to the congregation. The congregation then has to then grow to the point where they can start feeding themselves. Not just then at 11 and 6 on Sunday in Smithton, for example, but all the time, whenever they want to, whenever they're hungry, whenever they need something. That is what I'm trying to do today, tonight, this evening, just to help you to take the little spoon and start doing it yourself. Or if you've been doing it yourself, but you've kind of, I don't know, lost your way in doing it, to just be refreshed and in learning to feed yourself again. It's a very simple approach. Like I say, it's just an example. But just to leave with you a way of remembering what I've said. The word quest. A quest is looking for something. The first letter of quest, Q, stands for question. Remember, that's how we got started. We had a question and we went to the Bible for an answer. We wanted God to speak in answer to our question. It's a good place to start is with a question that you want God to answer. The U then speaks about being undisturbed. So you've got your Bible, you've got your reading notes, you've got your notepad and so on, and you've got the question. Do everything you can to make sure you're not going to be disturbed. Take practical steps so that you can really focus. The E is then engaging. It's engaging. Now you've got to actually engage with it. You've got to read it over, maybe write down verses. You're seeking to actually meet with God. That's your goal. You're wanting to engage. You're not going to be satisfied with anything less. So you're going to give him time to speak. The S is speaking to God. Prayer is speaking to God about the questions. Anything he says to you, anything that strikes you out of the passage that you're reading, speak to him about it. Thank him for it. Ask him to help you according to what he's shown you in his word. And then the T, simply taking notes. T for taking notes, to clarify the thoughts and to help you retain them. That's an important word in verse 15, retain, and to plan a response. Quest. Questioning, undisturbed, engaging, speaking to God, taking notes. I hope you don't feel that I've been too simple tonight. I like simplicity. The easier it is to understand, the better it is for us. And also the less excuse we have if we don't actually do something about it. So may God help us all when we read his word regularly to ask the questions that we need to ask. Tonight you may be someone who's not even really a Christian yet. You know that. You know that about yourself. You're not really someone that handles the Bible much. Take the Bible, whether it's, you know, on a physical Bible, or it might be you look up a website with the Bible on it, and Bible Gateway. It's the one I use quite often, Bible Gateway. And just come to God and say, I'm not a Christian yet. How do I become one? You know, really come to him with the question that needs to be asked. And he will show you Jesus, his wonderful Son, and how he died on a cross to pay for your sins, rose again to life, and offers the benefit of his death for you, to you tonight. He'll show you Jesus in answer to your question, if you're not a Christian. And if you are a Christian, keep asking those questions. Your life is full of questions. Keep looking to God's word to answer them, seeking his help and his light. Be still and know that he is God. He will speak to you. He will answer your questions. And your life will be changed. As you behold us in the mirror of God's word, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to a greater degree. You will be changed. You will become like Jesus. You will be made fit to live with God forevermore. Amen. Let's pray just for a moment together. So, Lord, we come as children, curious, asking questions, trusting that you have the answers, praying that you will show us what those answers are, and that you will help us, therefore, to know the truth so that it can set us free, and that you will help us to believe the right things so that we don't get trapped into bad habits, into sinful things that will take us away from you, so that you can help us to love you and to discover the riches of a relationship with you. Come, Heavenly Father, and help us, Lord, to handle your word in the right way, and help us, Lord, to be fresh in it, so that our relationship with you then can indeed grow and flourish. Help us to produce a crop 100-fold. Help us, Lord, to multiply in our relationship with you, and indeed to multiply by bringing others to know you too. For Jesus' sake, amen.